Good morning. Well, we're having fun already, aren't we? Man, yesterday we were talking about our Dream Team Appreciation Banquet, and big shout out to Steve and Stu Vlad. They help with all our event coordination, and they are gifted. I mean, just gifted to put events together like that, and it was just so much fun. There was a mechanical bull, and yes, I rode the bull, and it was a lot of fun. And someday I'll use this illustration of the story I'll share with you about perceptions and realities. And sometimes we live through events, and it's not quite the way it seems. I get up on the bull, and I watch a few people do it first, and I'm thinking, I got this. And he'd given instruction, you know, that you hold on with your strong hand, and you kind of, you know, do the bull riding kind of motion. And I thought, I've seen enough bull riding. I got that. And so, you know, you're an expert before you get on the bull. You already know that you're going to do so good. So I'm on it, right? And I'm thinking, man, this is pretty good. In fact, there's just like this Tim McGraw anointing started coming on me, and I'm like, I went skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I'm like, Fu Manchu, I got you, baby. And so the ride's over, you know, and I get off. And I'm thinking, I did it. Like, I really rode that bull. And so then Frank Coleman gets on, and he's riding it, he's doing some of like the twirls, and I'm thinking, I think I did that. I'm pretty sure I measured up to all of that. And then Christina had videoed my ride, and I'm watching it on instant playback. And the Tim McGraw anointing wasn't quite what was going on there. Really, a more appropriate song would have been, wee, wee. Man, I look like I was out front of the supermarket, one of those little ponies that you pop the quarter. Man, I got shot in the head in paintball. It hurts. If you want to know if paintball hurt, it hurts. This morning, in the few minutes that we have together, I want to talk to you. We're going to begin a series today called Building Altars, and I want to talk to you about the importance of your personal and private devotion time with the Lord. We spent 3 weeks talking about the presence of God and the corporate anointing and how amazing it is to come on Sunday and experience that and be a part of that. We read in Genesis chapter 12 about Abraham, that he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. There he builds an altar to the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. Father, we just ask today that you would help us understand the importance of building that special time with you in the wilderness times, in the wilderness seasons. Seasons that are hard, seasons that are dry, seasons when we don't really feel like praying, Lord, but we learn the deeper understanding of relationship with you. Lord, let that be the message that prevails today, we ask in Jesus' name. Everyone said? The Old Testament, geographical places, stones that were erected to mark a place where one of the patriarchs had met with God. They were places of encounter, places of forgiveness, places of worship, places of covenant where God would promise, and there would be a response out of the heart of the patriarch of covenant back to God, a place of intercession. And we can relate to those, that those should be our encounters with the Lord as well. The very real, personal, private times when we're alone with the Lord. We make time, and we make a place. We encourage you to have a time and a place. And if you will set aside a time and a place to meet with the Lord each and every day, we know that you will be up, begin building in your spiritual life and building your relationship. You'll learn about yourself, and you'll learn about God. And you'll learn things about him that perhaps you haven't really experienced. And that's when we really learn about the things of God, is when we experience those attributes, those aspects of his faithfulness. Altars in the Old Testament required work to build them. And our spiritual time, our time that we set aside to meet with the Lord, takes intentionality and time and effort as well. but not the kind of time and effort that we sometimes think about. And as we did the fruit of the Spirit every week, we talked about, now this is not something you learn to do book knowledge. This is something you have to experience. Say experience. Today would be the same. And as we talk about setting time aside and getting serious about our prayer and our reading the word to see what God would have for us, I'm reminded of the scripture in Exodus. It says, if you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones. In other words, they weren't to take stones that were, jagged and rugged and ugly and dirty and then take a hammer and a chisel and shape them and form them and engrave them and make them all beautiful. And God said, don't build for me fancy religious altars. In fact, he says here that if you do that, you will defile that place of prayer. And that word defile is the grossest kind of defilement and profanity that you can think of. And I purposely wasn't going to try to come up with an illustration of this until just before I left Rowdy last night. I had to use the porta potty. And as I went into that place that we need, but a porta potty lets you see with one moment how disgusting part of our humanity is. That in that moment of smell wafting up and like, okay, I have to do what I got to do. I've just got to get in and out of this place as quickly as possible. That's actually what this word means. And what God was saying was, the religiousness of striving and working. And, you know, I've heard people say, I meet with God 1 hour every day, whether it kills me or not. And I'm thinking, sometimes I get 5 minutes in but it's not a dressed stone. It's the raw components of my life, my day-to-day activities. And sometimes it's jagged and dirty. And God just says, make a place, be who you are, be real with me, and I will be real with you. And God doesn't want the religious nonsense. He doesn't want us changing our voice when we come in prayer. It says that Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And sometimes in my life, that just simply looks like in my spot, God, help, help. Lord, I don't know if I have the strength for today. Just grab that rock and pull it and make that spot. So he doesn't want, it takes intentionality. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It takes a little bit of work because we set time aside. But it's not punching the religious clock. It's not legalism. It's relationship. In the same way you would put time aside, we're going to talk about family altars in the weeks to come. We're going to talk about some very specific altars. But today, the altar in the wilderness, the raw stuff, the stuff we're being real with him about. And so number one, altars are built. They're established. It takes time and effort. I saw someone that I know posted on Facebook yesterday, they had built a steel shed, and one that comes in a little tiny box, and then it makes a big giant steel shed. And if you've ever done that, and that was his point, he said, if you've ever done this, you know. And it's just frustrating, and it takes time, and it doesn't, you know, come together easily. We want a prefab, right? Just buy the prefab, put it down. You know, we want something that's easy, but our altar time really, it's built, and it takes time. And sometimes you're going to feel like all you got accomplished was beam A into beam B, attach the screw. And that's okay. That's part of establishing a lifestyle of building the altar. And then he had his picture of his shed with stuff in it. And there's actually, I thought that was good because you utilize what you build. Abraham built an altar at the place that God had appeared to him in Genesis 12:7. And then as he has that experience, and we talked last week about experiencing God in the corporate gathering, and it should spur us on, Sundays should spur us on to say, God, I want to keep this going. I want to have experience with you. And so a year of Abraham's life goes by, and I don't have time for this morning, even contextually, that, I mean, he goes down to Egypt. He almost trades his wife away for his own survival. And, I mean, he lives some life over a year. And we find him in the next chapter a year later, and it says, from the Negev, They continued traveling by stages toward Bethel. So much could be said. And they pitched their tent between Bethel and Ai, where he had camped before. Say before. The altar you build this week will help you understand the altar next week. The altars that we build today will help us a year from now. We're going to live a lot of life. And if you include altar building in the life, that you, something special begins to take place. Something of sustainability begins to happen. Something of strength begins to take place in your life amidst the adversity, amidst the difficulty, amidst the wilderness I'm going to talk about in a moment. You can come back and realize, I built something a year ago. I built something a month ago. I built something yesterday. And he comes to the place he was. This was the same place. Say same place. Where Abraham built the altar. And there he worshiped the Lord again. And sometimes when I come to that place of prayer, I'm reminded, thank you, Lord, that I stayed with the instruction. Thank you that I put beam A into beam B. Thank you that there's something of sustainability spiritually in my life that I can stand on, that you are faithful. But if we're not intentional about that, a year later, we won't have that. I want to talk to you about specifically the wilderness this morning. Building a private devotional time when stuff is hard. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the... I'm going to read it again. You fill in the blank. The Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the... It wasn't up there, was it? The first time? Say no, it wasn't up there, Pastor. Yeah. All right. Where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out amongst the wild animals. The angels took care of him. Man, the wilderness, just that word, the Spirit compelled Jesus. The Holy Spirit will allow us to traverse through times in our life that are not easy. He doesn't cause it, but he walks with us. The world doesn't work the way it should because of sin, and he walks with us. We are overcomers, and we learn how to deal with the wilderness. Jesus was compelled. It was necessary. He had to go out and face the wilderness, and this word... It's not a geographical place. It's an experience. It means just that word. If you just plug it into a Bible dictionary software, which I did, here's what comes out. Lonely. 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 Solitary. Things that you face sometimes that you feel so alone, so by yourself. You phone up your best friend and you try to process and download. They don't have a clue. You know they can't. They can't identify with what you're going through whatsoever. Lonely. Solitary. Closest people to your life, your love, your family, your mom, dad, if you're married, your significant other person that has walked with you maybe for years, and yet as you're going through it and you're trying to let them understand what you're going through, it's lonely, solitary, and they're helpful. They want to be helpful, but if you're honest, they're no help at all because you're in a season that God has prescribed for you to build an altar in the wilderness, uninhabited, uncultivated region. You ever been in a time of your life where you're so unfruitful? There is zero fruitfulness. Like nothing seems to be going right. Nothing seems to be multiplying. It's winter, winter season. It's uncultivated region of your life. It's just, there is no fruit. You're longing to be fruitful, to feel like something good is happening in your life, and yet you're in the wilderness, deserted by others. Oh, that's fun. Deprived of the aid and protection of others. They're trying, but it doesn't seem to be helping, especially of friends, acquaintances, kindred. That's what that word means, that the Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the lonely, solitary, uninhabited, uncultivated region deserted by others, deprived by the aid and protection of others, especially friends, acquaintances, and kindred. And we do too. And we do too. And in this room this morning online, I'm sure there are some of us that are in the wilderness today, and I just want to encourage you to build a wilderness altar. And Psalms 84 shows us and talks to us a little bit about how to do that. It begins by saying, blessed, beginning at verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Your heart is set. You have made a decision. The first step of building an altar in the wilderness is to set your heart on a journey. Say journey. That you're not going to sit down, that you're not going to give up, that you're not going to let the enemy tell you that in this wilderness place where the wild animals are prevalent, the demonic, even demonic powers might be so real to you, and it seems so dark, it seems so lost, so alone, that in that moment, what you didn't know, that as God has prescribed for you an opportunity to meet the living God in the desert, to meet the living God, to make himself so real to you in the deserted place, in the uninhabited place, in the place where you never thought you could meet God, that you meet him and say, I've never had an experience like this. And that was Jesus's story, and that's our story today. If we set our heart on the journey of Christianity, the journey, it's sometimes so easy, isn't it, when we have, we're going through fruitfulness, everything's going great, we're overseeing ministry, something in the church, this is fruitful, it's going so good, work's going good, hallelujah, yeah, it's going so good. But in the desert, it's different. And what I need to say to you today as your pastor is that you need to remember, why do we talk so much about next steps? What's your next step? We're doing it with small groups, freedom groups, anywhere you gather at Harvest, you're going to hear us say, what is your next step? Somebody places their hand up to get saved. We say, next step is water baptism. It's so powerful. Make your next step. Why are we talking about next steps? Because we want you to journey in this thing called relationship with Jesus. It's a journey. And in the journey, there will be times you will be in the wilderness. But if you give up, if you decide, I don't want to do this, this is hard, and you believe the lie of the enemy, you won't get through the wilderness. You will wander in the wilderness. And a whole point I could put in on the children of Israel for what should have been a very short period of time in the wilderness turned out to be 40 years. Unfortunately, I've met people in my life that have spent most of their Christianity in the wilderness. It's not a place we live. It's a place we go through. People who have given up, people who won't take a next step in bitterness and discover forgiveness. People who won't take a next step with pain and understand that God is the balm of Gilead who can come and bring healing. People who just collect all the garbage of life and get burdened down with it and are convinced this is their plight in life. And they remain in the wilderness when God is beckoning them out into the fruitful promised land. Building an altar in the wilderness. I'm not going to wander. I'm setting my heart on journey. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Number two, we learn to find our strength in the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm stubborn, and I'm 62, and I wasn't letting anybody go ahead of me on the bull. I got shot in the head in paintball. I'm just that guy. And I will keep trying hard. I will keep trying to keep up, even though I know I can't, because I'm stubborn. And there's a tenacity in me by personality. But that's not always served me well. There are times where I have, labored and journeyed, and I'm in my strength. And if you asked me, are you in your own strength or in God's strength, I would have told you, I'm in God's strength, hallelujah. But I was in my own strength, and you discover when you journey in your own strength. But the wilderness is a place, your gas tank will promise. And you'll have no strength. I can't get up tomorrow morning and do this. I can't oversee it. I don't have space for one more thing. I feel like I'm going to explode. I can't do it. You're in the wilderness. And you're in a good place. You're in a good place because it's there you will discover the supernatural. When Jesus 40 days didn't eat, 40 days. I don't know. It's not clear. Did he have water? That's not even humanly possible. But the angels attended. They probably brought him water. But they didn't bring food because he had no food, the Bible said, for 40 days. And the Lord brings you strength in the wilderness. You learn that you have something in God that you didn't know. And it's not in your gas tank, because your gas tank is empty. But all of a sudden, you begin to discover what it means to sense the anointing of God, the wind of the Holy Spirit. You're able to do things. It is impossible. There's no way. And at the end of the day, you realize, how did I get through today? The strength of the Lord. God strengthened you. You built an altar in the wilderness. Philippians says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. There are days I hate this scripture. But it reveals something in my own heart. Because they're like, what do you mean, Paul? Don't worry, don't fret. Fred, you don't know what I'm going through. Some well-meaning Christian, you know, let's just read Philippians today. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, you should pray. Be careful, be careful. Man, they sing like a little kid song. It's going because it feels that way. Because we've minimized the power of prayer. And prayer has become religious duty or just something. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Take. Amen. Whew, got that done. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. Amen. I'm not minimizing putting the time in for prayer. I'm just talking to you real about my life. That when I read that verse, starts, don't worry, don't fret, instead of worrying, pray. And I get angry about that. It's because I'm in my own strength. It's because I've reduced prayer to some religious activity. And I have forgotten that it's the place that he will feed me, sustain me, strengthen me. He will change things around. He will take what I'm carrying and he will establish his purposes. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Shape them into prayers. It's a learning process. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. He goes on, Paul goes on to the Philippian church and says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Yeah, you discover that in the wilderness. There's no other place. Build an altar in the wilderness. Number three. Let me just read the scripture in 2 Corinthians. So I'm not defeated by my weakness. I'm not defeated by my weakness. I'm delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with trouble on every side and face persecution, because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. We have to learn this. Number three. Learn to find refreshing in the dry places. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring, and the rain produces pools. Oh, wow, I got a couple more minutes. Good. Baca, say Baca. It translates place of weeping, but it's a Christian curse word. At least it has been in my life. How you doing? Where are you, Pastor? Right? Where, how are things going? I'm in Baca. When Andrew was a little toddler, he made up a curse word. He was a little kid, and if he got mad, he would go, 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 Dee Dee. We had no idea what it meant. He just made it up. Go, go, Dee Dee. And he would say it to his brothers. He'd say it to us. He'd get a go, go, Dee Dee. Baca. Baca is a horrible place. I don't want to live in Baca. I want to pass through Baca. And the promise as we're on this journey, as they pass through, tell your neighbor, we're just passing through Baca. We're just passing through. While we're passing through, they make it a spring. Here's the deal. During this time, you're probably not going to feel like having an altar time. Not going to feel like setting time aside intentional with the Lord. You're not going to want to pray. It might be hard. You might sit down on the couch that morning and stare at the wall and say, "All you, Jesus, I love you. Baca. It's Baca. A place of weeping. But as you stay with it, what you're doing is you're putting beam A into beam B. Part 6,000 into part 6,001. And you're being intentional and you're building an altar. And what happens, even though it feels boring, it feels dry, it feels like nothing is happening, I can promise you, one of those mornings you'll sit, you'll there and your heart will open and you begin to express Baca to the Lord in the place of weeping. And the angelic hosts ministering like they did to Jesus, the Holy Spirit sustaining you, the strength of the Lord coming under you. The water in the wilderness is the sweetest, most refreshing. I've had my most incredible encounters with the Holy Spirit in Baca. Now, I've also had lots and lots of boring, that didn't seem like to accomplish anything in Baca too. But they make it a place of spring. Say, make it. You're going to make it. Continue being faithful to building the altar in the wilderness. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives to them a brook of blessing filled from the rain of an outpouring. They go from strength to strength. Worship team, would you come join me? We're going to just transition our service. They go from strength to strength until each appears before the Lord. This journey we're on, can I just give you some good news? Maybe see your journey. Most of us, we would say, I go from weakness to weakness. But remember, Paul says weakness brings strength. Most of us would say, I've gone from my failure to my failure. Most of us would identify our journey with all of the mistakes we make, but God says, that's not how I want you to measure this. He said, if you understand how to build an altar in the wilderness and meet me in that place, you will go from strength to strength, from high point to high point. Will we visit the valleys? Will we know the other? Yes, we will, but those are the places where he strengthens you. And so really this walk is a walk of understanding. We go from strength to strength. Romans says we go from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians says we go from glory to glory. Come on, somebody. This is a progression. This walk, this journey with the Lord, our next steps is exciting. And if you're in Baca today, you need to know there's a strength around the corner. Don't measure your walk by the weakness you feel right now. You're not going weakness to weakness. You're not going bad day to bad day. You're not going, I'm just making it. You are going from strength to strength, glory to glory, faith to faith. Come on. There is something in God today that as you are true to the altar in the wilderness, and until that day where we die, we leave this earth, we appear before him, our life is to be a life of strength to strength. Why don't we just, as we just pause, number four, and just as a point, allow yourself to be altered at the wilderness altar. Would you just bow your hearts with me today? All across this room and online today, I know that there are those of us that are in the wilderness today. And maybe you'd say, I was there a year ago. Why am I here again? Well, sometimes we just are going through these times. The Lord wants to show himself strong. And we just check our hearts today. Whose strength am I operating in today? Is it my will, us Enneagram 8s who plow through everything? Is it my stubbornness or am I willing today to embrace the weakness, embrace it and say, this could be the best moment of my life as he shows himself strong. For some of us, we embrace our own strength and we give homage. We give religious homage to the strength of God. But in the place of Baca, you have no choice. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I've been wandering. You just put some thoughts together for me. I would say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on out of the wilderness. Come into the place of refreshing. Allow yourself to be altered at the altar of the wilderness. Determine as you return home this week to focus on What is God altering in your life? What is He wanting to change? What is He after? He wants to meet you in such a special, special way. In fact, I'm believing He's doing that right now in this moment. Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, let this moment right here, right in this prayer moment, somebody hasn't tasted wilderness water in a long time. It's been dry and it's been parched. But Lord, right in this moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, just impart right now in this moment a sense of the sweetness of the refreshing water of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and refresh hearts all across this room and online, I pray. This morning, if you've been stirred to realize, I've been going through some religious exercises. I need to return to the altar. Not duty, not legalism, not I got my private time in with the Lord today, but sitting at that place of just rawness and realness, pouring your heart out. Just grab that jagged stone, grab that dirty stone, grab and just say right here in this moment, God, would You meet me? I call out on Your name. I'm building. Lord, this September season, and it's just a good season after summer. Well, so many of us just get out of sync, get out of routine. And Lord, as we come back into routines, that we would come back into the spiritual routines of our lives, spiritual rhythms of our lives. And I just bless that right now. It's going to be powerful. And a year from now, people who are stronger, they went strength to strength. People who are returned to a difficult place but go, wait a minute, I know what this is. I know what this is. It's the wilderness altar. I know what this is. Oh, I know how to find water. I know how to find it. And when I can't, He rains on me a fresh rain. So let us all take next steps. September, October, November, December, as we come in through this fall season. Let it be a season of next steps at harvest. Just before we go today, I just want to ask this question. If you're here and you've never made a decision to be a Christ follower, the Bible says that we're born separated from God. Maybe you feel like your whole life has been just one dry desert. When I describe the wilderness, you'd say, that's where I live. I thought that's all there was to life. You just do the best you can. And I've asked, is this all there is? And today I want to tell you, no. This is not all there is. That there's a life in Jesus that's abundant. It's good. He's one that's closer, the Bible says, than a brother. And when no one else understands me, He does. Whispers in my ear. And lets me go from strength to strength. If you're here today, you've never made that decision to have your sins forgiven, to ask Jesus into your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now. And just in the quietness of this moment, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, that you just consider your eternity. The Bible says that when we make that decision to have our lives washed by what He did, He died in my place. His sacrifice on Calvary was for me. But we're required to ask for it and apply it to our lives and then walk with Him until that day that we appear before Him. If that's you today and you'd like to pray a prayer to invite Jesus into your life, it would be my privilege to lead you in that prayer. If that's you, I'm simply going to count down from three, two, and one when I reach one. Just raise your hand and it's your way of saying today, Pastor, include me in the prayer. I want to meet Jesus today in three and two and one. This is for you. Just raise your hand today if you'd like to pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I don't see a hand today, but we're going to pray this prayer because it's a great reminder that we've all made that decision to journey with Him. Would you just, Harvest, would you pray with me online? If you texted in today, I'm making that decision. Pray this prayer with us. Dear Jesus, I know today I need a Savior. I call out to You. Forgive my sin. I ask for a new start. I ask for new life. Today, I receive the new life. I am born again. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Hey, would you stand with us today? And we're going to be dismissed in just a moment. I'm close to the
Thank you today, God, that you are an awesome God. Father, we thank you today that you just love us, God, unconditionally. Father, for this word this morning, we just thank you, Father, for your timing. I pray for each person as we leave here today, God, you will go with them, protect them, keep them safe, protect their families, Father. Bring us back safely next week. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this minute. We thank you for this word. In your name we pray, amen. God bless you, Harvest. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you back here next week.